Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Education Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley, and I am an exhausted person because I'm recording so many interviews for these 2 weeks, like 2 hours, 3 hours at night, because I'm heading to Hilton Head, South Carolina to take a break. But I want my audience to never get a rerun. Always new education talk 7 days a week on the network. So if you only get 1 day a week or 2 days a week of the show, tell your station you want every hour of the Total Education Network. And I want to welcome the program first. I love this. This is always my favorite, the celebrity segment. I want to welcome Debbie Ferguson, Olympian from the Bahamas, gold medalist. Debbie, thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me. I sincerely appreciate it.
Oh, I'm really excited because, again, anytime I interview an athlete, but especially someone who won a gold medal, I never thought in a million years when I started in education radio that I would have interviewed gold medalists, governors, maybe soon someone who's running for president. It's just amazing the growth, the celebrities. But you have – the reason I bring a lot of people on is because it has to be education-related in a specific way, especially for tonight. And you have an inspirational story. Can you tell us about that?
Well, yes. Basically, it's so much to start. But I guess, you know, to make a long story short, growing up as a kid – never thought, I dreamt about the Olympics, but never thought that I personally would actually compete in the Olympics until I actually started competing around grade six, you know, then continuing, junior high and high school. And, in high school, I ended up getting a scholarship to attend the University of Georgia. So from there, I, you know, competed for the school, 19-time All-American, 4-time NCAA champion, and it started where my first Olympics was in the 96 Olympics, and, you know, I consider Georgia my home, being from small Bahamas, and my goal basically was to see, okay, it's right at home, it's here in Atlanta, then my motivation was to actually try and make that team, and I did, and I guess just from a kid, you know, being very competitive, it just has... Basically, as far as I said, dreaming and thinking about these things and then working towards it, not being afraid, you know, it's like right. Being a child. A child is never afraid of trying things or, you know, they might learn from error where if you touch a light or a fire, you get burned. And then they develop that sense, but that's how it was for me. Like, I was never afraid of, you know, losing. I was never afraid of just whatever the usual scare tactics are, preventing you from trying things in life, whether it's trying to win a gold medal or trying to get a job or whatever the case is. So from there, it's amazing. I made semifinals in the 96 Olympics in the 100 meter and in the relay. We got the silver medal. And then in 2000, got better from there. Made two finals, 100 meter to 200 meter. Got fifth in the 200. Should have gotten a better place, but I ran Marion Jones' race instead of mine. And then... In the 100, I think the important story was my first final. I actually made the final. So for me, it was progress. And I just remember at one point, you know, there were a lot of people who were proud of me. However, you know, sometimes the media can be your friend, but it can also be your foe. Where it was like the irony, it says the Bahamas, we actually got 6th, 7th, and 8th. The Bahamas had 3 female in the final. And, you know, I guess the newspaper said basically the Bahamas got last. And I was like, wow, because I know the connotation that people look on being last, but for us as athletes, I'm thinking, this is my first Olympic final. Like, this is a big accomplishment for me. And being a youngster at the time, I was like, whoa. And I think everybody kind of missed the story where for a small country, Bahamas, we had 3 people in the final. Nobody, no other country had 3. They may have 1, maximum 2, but we had 3. So we went on to actually win the 4x1 relay in Sydney, Australia. Got a gold from there. And, 2004, I got a bronze medal in the 200. And you know what? It teaches me, as I said, it's one of those things where if you don't try, you won't know. And sometimes when one event happens to you for whatever specific reason, could be something negative, positive, especially when it's negative, because it's so easy when things are positive. But when it's negative, you know, we're down and out. And sometimes, as I said, I've learned in life, some things happen for a reason. You know, just keep the spirit up, you keep at it, and you get stronger. Like, the trials and tribulations, they come to make you stronger. And I think because of all of that, you know, being labeled, being last, like, I was motivated to run faster, you know, to just be strong mentally. I've trained hard physically, and just to do the best that I could. And that's what happened.
What a tremendous story, Debbie, because here's the thing that, again, who would think that the Bahamas would be able to compete with the rest of the world, being such a small country? And then you didn't have that. You just thought, I'll be happy just to be in the Olympics, and then to finally win a gold medal, and then to get other medals as well individually. It just, it has to be such an honor to do this for your country. But then the, I guess the growth of the Bahamas team, because I guess this wasn't always the case that Bahamas were competing, right?
Not at all. I think in the past, we barely would have had maybe four or five athletes on an Olympic team. So to have an athlete made the Olympic final, that was a no-no. And I know in 92, we were blessed when Frank Rutherford got the bronze medal in the triple jump. But apart from that, you know, we've not had, like, medalists in the Olympics as far as I can remember. So that was a big deal for a country of about 310,000. Like, that's a big deal for us. So, yes, one sad story turned into a very happy ending. And as I said, honestly, I've never seen, you know, I know the U.S. is so blessed because of its size and, you know, with all the states. But, like, going back home in 2000 after the Olympic Games, like, the entire Bahamas came out, and the people were lying in the street, and it's almost like you, David and Goliath, like,
right,
David
exactly.
Took down Goliath. And but I mean, even though that's, I'm saying this as far as on the Bahamian terms, but it's like just things in life. That's how it is, and that's how it works out. You know, you never know what you're capable of doing until you try. So that was really an eye-opening experience for me. You know, growing up as a little girl in the Bahamas, and then coming towards being competing the Olympics, it's just been a fantastic blessing, and I'm so thankful.
Well, Debbie, I have a lot of questions because, again, you're telling just the sport part of this. And this inspirational story, I'm sure when you were a kid, you couldn't imagine doing this. You couldn't imagine saying, I'm going to be a gold medalist someday. I'm going to be on radio shows interviewing. I'm going to be a superstar in your country. I'm sure when you go to the Bahamas, you're like an icon because of how many people have been able to put the Bahamas on the map like that in athletics. And so kind of tell us when you first got involved in track. First of all, you probably never, was your family really athletic? So these are kind of questions I kind of asked to kind of get at and understand how amazing your story is.
I think, you know, it's amazing. Like, I speak to my mom, and in talking about, you know, her growing up, I know at one point she always bragged that she did, like, long jump. But, you know, I'm not sure how good she was, but in telling her story, you know, she always talked very highly of how well she did. And then she stopped because my grandmother at one point had a lot of kids. So she was one of the oldest, at least 12 kids. So she had to stay home to take care of her siblings. And so she never pursued track. And one of the things I remember her telling me when I was born, you know, I had, it's kind of funny, like I had these little scales or things on my hands and on my feet. And at one point, they reminded me that they wouldn't even have thought that I would have walked. So
It's
amazing how, like, hearing that story and growing up, you know, I never knew what the Olympics was. I mean, I grew up, I said I'm very blessed at this point, but, like, it's amazing how we all, growing up, never had a TV to watch. And I remember vividly hearing about the Olympics for the first time was in 88. And then, of course, 92, but never got a chance to watch the Olympic Games. I think my first one, I actually got a chance to be a part of, so to speak, was actually 96. So, you know, hearing all the stories and then, like, wow, that's amazing. Like, look at that person. You know, I mean, track and field is the highlight of the Olympics, no matter what. You might not remember what track is, but when it comes to the Olympics, track and field is always the highlights. And, you know, I started running track in 87, as I said, just to do it. I remember other girls, you know, they were doing ballet classes or piano lessons, and I think for me, going after school to track, it was just like a club to belong to, like people, you know, doing positive things, you know, hanging around, you know, doing drugs or, you know, getting in trouble. So it was a good feeling belonging to a group, so to speak. And then from there, you know, it's amazing being one of the youngest kids, but some of the oldest kids I actually, you know, being inspired by, but also inspiring them, because I was like that fun, fearless little girl. Like, I just wanted to try. So what if I don't win? Just wanted to try. And I think with that attitude, I've actually persevered so many, you know, obstacles, so many distractions, so many, you know, struggles. And, you know, coming towards surviving high school and then coming towards college, this is how naive I was. As I said, I came to college thinking, okay, I have one chance to make this right. I got a scholarship. I cannot waste it. I didn't realize people actually partied in college. So that should tell you how sheltered my mom was. Very protective, but she was very a disciplinarian. And so when you given the opportunity to do something, especially as for attending college, you know, that's something where I just thought, oh my goodness, this is an honor. I have to make the best of this chance. It's actually my only chance. And so these are the things that you know, just some of the small things that I never took for granted. And, you know, it's one of those stories you always said, from rags, you know, and try to make things, to make life better. And just being motivated to, along the way, as I said, I don't consider myself a celebrity, because somebody had to think of me and give me the opportunity, whether it was my coach at the time, he coached me to get through this. I remember him never charging me, because at that point I couldn't even afford it.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, and so that has now taught me how to give back. I may not be able to give it back monetary-wise, but as far as, like, inspirational words, going to schools, and just sharing it with the kids, like, somebody motivated me. And I think that's why I take honor in doing, you know, what I do. I love what I do, and I'm passionate about what I do, and try to get others, no matter if it's track or whatever they're doing in life, you just have to try. Because if you don't try, you won't know. And you don't want to live a life where you're thinking, what if?
Right,
what
exactly. And I see that as being an entrepreneur now, and taking the chances that I'm taking in my life now that I didn't when I was younger. And I understand. And the amazing story, I guess you have so many other stories, Debbie, that giving you 13 to 15 minutes, that's just giving us just a piece of you. And I hope to have you back on again. But I guess I want to follow up the final question. So you were at a point where you might not have ever walked to being an Olympian. That in itself is unbelievable, isn't it?
It is. It very, very much so. And, you know, just to hear that, it basically, it's an inspiration. And for me, I always said it's one of those inspiration of greatness where your worst nightmare turned out to be your biggest success. And, yeah, I just have to, you know, it's one of those things when you believe and you just work through struggles and you just hang tough and never quit. Life has a way of preparing you for things. And I think that's one way of preparing me from growing up, being able to walk and actually being an Olympian. So, one just never knows. One just never knows.
Well, I mean, I see it completely. It's exciting. It's really, something just that point alone, but to talk about how you go out and talk to the kids at school, a lot of opportunities to bring you, back on the show, and that's fantastic. So you're going into schools in the States and talking to people, or also the Bahamas?
Yes, for both. Yes.
And I mean, anytime someone that's such a great role model like yourself can go and tell kids to never give up and go after the dream and have passion. I just see passion. I'm hearing passion from you the entire time. And that just motivates me always to say, hey, you got to go after things and tell kids and never break their spirit saying that they can be successful. And that's a tremendous story.
Yes, 100%. All the way. And that's what it takes. As I said, most people, you know, a little negative thing happened and they're quitting.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, I'm just saying that sometimes society teaches to be that way.
Right.
When it doesn't really have to be the way. It's always that silver lining just around the corner. It might take you two or three tries, but guess what? At the end of the day, you focus real hard on what you really want and give it all you've got, then you have nothing to lose at all.
All right. Well, where can we find more information on you, Debbie? And I am going to be rooting for you. I hope that you qualify for London, and you'll have to keep me knowing what's going on. But also, I got to have you back on for specific parts of your story, because it's not enough time for just one segment. But where can we find more information on you?
No problem at all, and you're always welcome.
Debbie, is there a website we can find more info on you?
You know, it's funny. I've always ran away from that because I was considered old school and not the website, but actually, I've actually started a website, and right now it's under construction, so hopefully soon it will be actually finished. But I've actually started, believe it or not, I started a Twitter account
okay.
and started tweeting, so it's just interesting. As I said, I was always more, for me, comfortable with the kids, you know, and sometimes with elderly people. But now I'm getting out of my shell. Believe it or not, I'm getting out of my shell and doing all the stuff that the Generation X is so-called doing. So the tweeting, and hopefully soon I get my my website finished.
Well,
so.
you have to follow me on Twitter, Total Tutor, and we can tweet back and forth, especially if you're in London. What a cool thing, and I'll retweet all your stuff to my followers. Let me know what's going on, and I appreciate you calling, Debbie. It was awesome.
And thank you for the opportunity. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. That was Debbie Ferguson. You're listening to Total Education Show on the Total Education Network. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, I am Neil Haley, director of Total Tutor. I operate a birth through college tutoring and consulting company. What separates us from our competition is we bring the tutor to you. Our tutors will instruct students in their home or in a community setting. Our tutors are all certified teachers and experts in their field. Please visit my website at www.totaltutor.org or call 412-523-0289 for a free phone evaluation of your child. Remember, when you want the total education experience, please call Total Tutor. Really, really excited and honored to have in the studio Sadella Marley, author of One Love, based on the song by Bob Marley, a children's book. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Bob Marley. My wife is even bigger, so it's just such an honor to talk about the book.
Thank you.
So what gave you the idea of this children's book and the thought about it?
Well, I had written two previous books inspired by Dad's lyrics. It was time for me to do another. And so I just thought One Love is a perfect fit. It's a song that everybody kind of knows.
Right.
You know, these pieces of it.
Yes. And I'm not going to sing it either.
One love, one heart. Let's get together and feel all right. I'm going to sign you to Universal
all right.
Records.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And that I'm going to hopefully Eric will edit out my part and just put you on. That was beautiful.
No, so before I do anything, you know, with my life, I call my mom.
Right.
So I call my mom and I told her the idea. And she just said, go for it. So that's how it happened.
It's based on the song, so the characters involved in this.
It's based on the song. What I did was I kept the spirit of the song, but I made changes for the younger readers.
Mm-hmm.
So the story follows Little C and her friends as they try to clean up their neighborhood park.
Okay.
So she gets everyone together, young and old, black and white, whatever. Everybody comes together, the squirrel, the dog, they come together, and they rebuild this park, and they name it the One Love Park.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's nice.
It's definitely nice, and I'm sure children love the illustrations.
The illustration is awesome. Vanessa did a remarkable job. And actually, when you look through the book, we have Dad in certain parts of it. See?
Yes.
Poster over the bed.
So the big fans of
will feel
and want to get it.
We have dictionary definitions in here too, on her bedspread for laugh and love, I think. The house is 56 because our house in Jamaica was at 56 Hope Road.
Okay.
So, you know, Marley fans will definitely figure out the clues that we have hidden in our One Love book.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. And what's the response so far of the book?
Great. No, absolutely amazing. I mean, my other two books that I did, I didn't do the whole book tour thing. But Chronicle has really gotten behind One
I'm
Love.
I'm sure of it.
And we even have a One Love doll based off Little C, like homemade. I made it in my garage. Oh. Yeah, so everybody's been loving it. You know, fans, and we're getting new fans. Because this speaks to, like, a new generation, you know?
Exactly.
So I'm bringing Dad into your baby's room.
Ah, and I have three children.
Nice.
6, 2.5, and 1.
Well, you have to play One Love for them.
Yes, I will. Yeah. I definitely will. And my wife and I remember a couple of our dates listening to One Love. Definitely, you're really excited about getting out the message of this book.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, it's simple. The lyrics, simple. One love, one heart. Let's get together and feel all right. It's simple but true. You know, if people just stop with all the petty squabbling and realize we have so many things in similar than different.
Right.
You have brown eyes. I have brown eyes.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right. I'm 6'10". How tall are you?
We're not almost 6'10".
No. But we're alike in so many ways, and to get along.
Exactly.
And especially in this environment, in the society today, where a lot of people aren't getting along anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a perfect time
together.
To get the message out. And again, for people to start listening to your father's music,
yes,
that might have never been exposed to.
Exactly.
It. Exactly. That's fantastic. The thought of just the book and everything. And have you gotten to read to children yet about this? Go to any of the schools yet?
I haven't been to schools. I was in Washington. I did a reading there and at National Book Fair September. So that was good. I practice a lot with my nieces who are here today. They're going to take the stage with me a little later on. So I hope to get into schools because I think the message is important and relevant today. But we'll see how it goes.
So what made you decide to be a children's book author? I mean, because you said you had other two books before this. And
You know, I think, you know, when my dad passed, I was only 13 years old.
Okay.
And I had to kind of become a businesswoman very quickly.
Right.
So for me, I think this is my therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, I love children. I probably have like 50 or 60 nieces and nephews.
Okay.
So I really don't have a choice. You know, there's going to be a new one almost every other year at least.
Right.
Brother, shout out. So it's just something that I think is dear to me. And if you ever see like me and my brothers and sisters hanging out, like we're very goofy. We're very childlike. Innocent in some ways. You know, so I just think it's my form of therapy.
The illustrations, you have other people do the illustrations. And you do
the illustration was done by Vanessa Brantley Newton. She did a remarkable job. She really brought the book to life. I don't know if your viewers can see some of the stuff here.
Yes,
because you're far
beautiful
away.
Beautiful pictures.
Right?
Yes, beautiful.
Beautiful stuff.
And definitely showing
diverse characters, diverse, you know,
yes, exactly,
the neighborhood.
Exactly.
And I mean, I think like maybe we can make a challenge and we can just find a park that needs, you know, some attention.
Yes.
And people can actually get together and clean it up and rename it the One Love Park.
Absolutely. We'll try to get that word out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's another goal of yours.
Listen, I want everybody to go to onelove.org and check out our charity component of our family's company, onelove.org. You'll see all the great stuff we're doing. We just did a huge project with Charity Water, you know, and Feed the Children.
Okay, fantastic.
So, and proceeds from 5% of this book goes towards, you know, probably Kicks for Cause, or it's a musical program where we fund instruments for underprivileged kids.
Oh, fantastic.
So check out onelove.org too.
Yeah, so
while you're checking out One Love.
Oh yes, yeah, so we'll definitely do that. And the charity is a very passionate, important.
Oh,
for
definitely,
you too.
Definitely. We're not a family that really talks about every single thing that we do, but through onelove.org, we're inviting other people to become a part of our movement, which basically is peace, planet, and youth.
Okay.
Those three things are important to our family. So we just want everybody to become a part of the movement.
And the movement of
One Love.
One Love. And the getting along together.
Yes.
And feel all right, right?
Feel all right.
Feel all right. You can go ahead and sing it again. I'm not going to try
to. No, you have to.
Okay, I have
to. But we have other people in the room.
We have other people.
Can sing.
Everyone.
Love. Come on, let's go.
Okay, here
we
go.
One heart. Let's get together and feel all right. Again.
One love.
Say it.
One heart.
Let's
let's get together and feel all right. That's what I'm talking about.
Only at the Miami Book Fair can we do this. Only. And the process. So I really, again, where can we find more information on you?
You can go to chroniclebooks.com.
Okay.
I'm there. Sedellamarley design.com. I'm there.
So you also do design as well?
I do. I dibble and dabble in a lot of things.
Well, yeah.
You know, I sang too. Well, I still sing.
Oh, yes.
You ever heard of that group, Ziggy Marley and the Melody Makers?
Yes.
You know?
I've heard of them.
I was in that group.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. Okay, so...
let me hear you say
okay.
It.
This is
it's an educational program.
Education. So, well, I really appreciate...
Educate.
I really appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.
And it was a great discussion. And wish you all the luck in your book and your charity.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Total Education Hour on the Total Education Network.
Hi, I am Neil Haley, director of Total Tutor. I operate a birth through college tutoring and consulting company. What separates us from our competition is we bring the tutor to you. Our tutors will instruct students in their home or in a community setting. Our tutors are all certified teachers and experts in their field. Please visit my website at www.totaltutor.org or call 412-523-0289 for a free phone evaluation of your child. Remember, when you want the total education experience, please call Total Tutor. Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at totaltutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at totaltutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, totaltutor.org. Hi, Neil Haley for the Total Education Minute. Go to the website totaltutor.org to find out more information. I wanted to talk today about why autism, people with autism are being denied services in public education because we can't really figure out what services they need. People are not trained to deal with autism. We don't allow organizations like in Western Pennsylvania, the wraparound services to kind of help in the process. By not doing these things, it really makes it a difficult situation. The teachers are not trained to work with autistic children. And they misdiagnose them and sometimes do not give them the proper education plan. What I think needs to be done is that we need to take more and more funding in autism and teach public schools to educate these students. What do you think? Email me at nhaley@tootletutor.org. We'll talk soon with more talk.